بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام وسيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين إن شاء الله شيخ المهدي welcome the brothers and sisters to Masjid Ibn Taymiyyah for our fourth Dawah seminar called Return to Ilm 4. We are happy and proud to host for a second time Sheikh Ali Hassan, Sheikh Salim Al-Halali and Sheikh Ahmed Salam and our guest Abu Suhaib, inshallah. We intend to try and put on our best program for you so the brothers and sisters can really gain some knowledge until the next time we come, until the next time the sheikhs come. So without any further ado, I'll hand you over to our sheikh, Sheikh Ali Hassan.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فإن الله تبارك وتعالى قد وعد عباده الصالحين كثيرا من الوعود، منها سعادة في الدنيا ونجاة عند الله تبارك وتعالى يوم القيامة. والآيات أو الأحاديث الدالة على هذا المعنى كثيرة وكثيرة جدا، يكفينا منها سورة من أقل سور القرآن عددا في آياتها، ومن أعظمها أثرا في معانيها، ألا وهي قوله تعالى: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. فهذه خسارة لكل بني الإنسان إن لم يكونوا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات، وهذه الخسارة إن لم تكن خسارة في الدنيا فإنها خسارة في الآخرة، وإلا فإنها خسارة في الدنيا وفي الآخرة.
The Sheikh began by saying, all praises are due to Allah. We praise Him and we laud Him and we seek His assistance and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our actions and the evil of our own souls. Verily, the one who Allah guides, there is none who can lead him astray. And the one that Allah causes to go astray because of his own whims, his own misunderstandings and interpretations, there is no one who can guide him aright. And then he said that he openly bears witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his prophet and his messenger. After this, the best speech is the speech of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And the worst affairs are the newly invented matters in the religion. And every newly invented matter is going astray. And every going astray leads to the hellfire. And then after that he said, brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised his servants with a lot of wa'ud, or a lot of promises in the Quran. And he has promised his servants and the righteous. And we can find these promises in so many places. He promised them happiness in the dunya, and he promised them success in the hereafter. And if we were to look at the many ayats of the Quran and the hadith of the Quran that tell us about these promises, we will find them very easily. He said, but it is enough for us to discuss a small surah. When we compare this surah to the other surahs of the Quran, it is small in terms of the number of ayat that it presents, but it is very large and great in terms of the meaning that it carries and the implications behind those meanings. And that surah is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which he swears by the Asr time. He said, I swear by the Asr time, all the mankind is in a state of loss, except those who believe and who do righteous deeds, and they mutually cooperate with one another. And they cooperate with one another by encouraging one another to be on the truth and to be patient. The Shaykh went on to say that this khasara, or this loss that is being talked about in this surah, he said, if this khasara, he said that every single son and daughter of Bani Adam will be a recipient of this loss, except the ones who do what the ayat is telling them to do, and that is to establish their iman and to do the righteous deeds. And this khasara, or this loss, if it doesn't happen in the dunya, maybe the person is not affected with it in the dunya, but verily he is going to be affected with it in the hereafter. And then you have those from amongst the people who will be affected by it in the dunya and in the hereafter together.
من أجل هذا فإن الإنسان المسلم يعيش حياته كلها ويقضي عمره جميعه حريصا على أن يكون عبدا لله تبارك وتعالى قائما بالأعمال الصالحة على وجهها ملتزما بما أمره الله قائما بمتابعة سنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حتى يتحقق فيه وبه معنى الصلاح الذي أشار الله تبارك وتعالى إليه في هذه الآية الكريمة أو في غيرها من الآيات. وكيف لا يكون منه هذا وهو يسمع قول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إن الإسلام بدأ غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ، فطوبى للغرباء. قيل من الغرباء يا رسول الله؟ قال هم أناس صالحون قليل، في أناس سوء كثير، من يعصيهم أكثر ممن يطيعهم. إذن وصفهم بأنهم صالحون وبأنهم قلة. وفي رواية أخرى قال هم الذين يصلحون عند فساد الناس، وفي لفظ هم الذين يصلحون عند فساد الناس. فيتحقق من هذا أن هؤلاء الغرباء لهم أوصاف، أولها أنهم صالحون في أنفسهم، ثانيها أنهم مصلحون لغيرهم، ثالثها أنهم قلة. والله يقول وقليل من عبادي الشكور، بينما الكثرة الكافرة هم المخالفون للغرباء، هم المخالفون لهؤلاء الصالحين. بل كما قال الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام في الحديث نفسه، هم أناس صالحون قليل، في أناس سوء كثير، من يعصيهم أكثر ممن يطيعهم.
The Sheikh went on to say, brothers and sisters, because of what has just went forth in the explanation or the mentioning of Surah Al-Asr, because of that, that everyone is going to be in a state of loss, he said it becomes imperative and absolutely necessary on every single Muslim man and woman who is intelligent to live their life, to live their lives in a way in which they are trying their best to be the servant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed him to be, that they do the good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to do, and that they do the righteous deeds and they be of the people who are righteous. He went on to say that they should be people who, when they find that Allah Ta'ala has ordered them to do some type of affair, they are racing to do that thing, and they are trying their utmost to be upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, so that they can make the tahqiq of this surah, Surah Al-Asr, so that they can be the people who are doing what this surah talks about, as well as what the other ayat of the Quran and the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in terms of encouraging the people to be righteous people. The Shaykh went on to ask the rhetorical question by saying, and how is it possible that the Muslim cannot hear this surah and the other ayat and the ahadith and he hears the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he doesn't practice it. Like the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam said, verily Islam began as a stranger and is going to return as a stranger. So tuba for the strangers. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say in this hadith, he said that they are the people, these strangers, who are they? They are the people who are righteous and their numbers are a few. And they will be in the middle, in the midst of other people who are many and they are irreligious. He said the people who disobey them are more in numbers than the people who obey them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described these ghuraba with a number of descriptions, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described these strangers or these ghuraba with a number of descriptions. He described them as being salihun, as being people who are righteous. And he described them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as being qilla, as being the minority. And in another narration and another variation of this same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a description and he elaborated more about these ghuraba, about these strangers who are righteous and who are in the minority. And he went on to say, they are the ones who rectify their own selves. And some of the scholars, this word can be used and interpreted in two ways. He said they are those who rectify their own selves, or they are those who rectify the people who are around them. The Shaykh went on to say, when we look at this hadith and we consider it and we contemplate its meaning, we will find as a result of that contemplation that Allah's Prophet ﷺ has made mention of these people, and there are three superlatives or three characteristics that we see coming from this hadith about the ghuraba. The first characteristic that they have been described with is that they are salihun, is that they are people who are righteous. The second characteristic is that they are muslihun, that they are the people who rectify the situation of their environment. They are the people who set the affairs aright and they put them straight. And the third characteristic is that the Shaykh said that they are the qilla, or they are in the minority. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, and the majority of my servants do not give thanks, in order to explain that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh went on to explain that the majority of the people are against the minority, who are these righteous ghuraba. And he went on to also say that in this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, he said they will be in the middle or in the midst of people who are, they are the righteous, in the middle and the midst of the majority, and the majority are those who are evil.
وَأَمَّا الْأَسْبَابِ أَلَّتِي مِنْ خِلَالِهَا يَسْتَطِيعُ الْمُسْلِمُ أَنْ يَكُونَ من الصالحين فإنها كثيرة، لكننا نقتصر في هذا المقام على آية واحدة من كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى جمعت أهم الأصول التي فيها تلكم الأسباب التي ترزق المسلم صلاحه أو صلاحا به يكون من الفائزين عند ربه سبحانه وتعالى، ألا وهي قوله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. ماذا ينتج؟ يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. رب العالمين يخاطب عباده قائلا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا. وهذا الخطاب من الله إذا نظرناه وتأملناه نرى أنه كله يحوي على أحكام مهمة وعلى أصول عظيمة وعلى قواعد أساسية. فقد ورد عن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال: إذا سمعت الله يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا فأرعه سمعك، أي أعطه سمعك واهتمامك، فإنه أمر يأمرك به أو نهي ينهاك عنه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله، تقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى هي الالتزام بأوامره والكف عن نواهيه كما قال من قال من أئمة السلف وهو مطرف ابن عبد الله ابن الشخير قال التقوى عمل بطاعة الله ابتغاء مرضات الله على نور من الله، وانتهاء عن معصية الله على نور من الله ابتغاء رضوان الله تبارك وتعالى، فهي عمل وكف، التزام ونهي وانتهاء، وهكذا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، قولوا قولا سديدا أي فيه السداد وفيه الاستقامة وفيه المشي على صراط الله القويم، لا أن تكونوا قائلين بالظن، متكلمين بالتخمين، خائضين بغير اليقين، فهذا لا يكون من القول السديد في شيء. القول السديد هو قول الصدق، القول السديد هو قول الحق، القول السديد هو الكلام المبني على العلم، وكل ما يخالف ذلك من الكذب والباطل والجهل وما بين هذه الأنواع الثلاثة من صورها وأشبهها، كل ذلك لا يكون من السداد في شيء، ولا يكون من القول السديد في شيء. اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، إن فعلتم ذلك متقين ربكم قائلين السداد من كلامكم، فماذا تكون النتيجة؟ يصلح لكم أعمالكم، أعمالكم هذه التي تبتعدون بها عن شرع الله وتخالفون بها أمر الله وتتنكبون بها سنة رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. إن اتقيتم الله وسرتم على السداد في القول والعمل، كنتم على هذا الشيء المهم الذي هو الصلاح الذي يسعى العبد، بل يسعى العباد جميعا على أن ينالوه وأن يحصلوه. يصلح لكم أعمالكم، فإذا بالأعمال المخالفة للشرع تنتقل إلى الصلاح، إذا بالأعمال المغايرة للهدي تنتقل إلى السداد والاستقامة. والله عز وجل يريد من عباده أن يكونوا صالحين، أن يكونوا مستقيمين، فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك، ولا تطغوا إنه بما تعملون بصير. فالاستقامة والصلاح أمران لا ينفك أحدهما عن الآخر، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. وماذا يفعل المسلم في حياته كلها إلا مغفرة الله؟ وبماذا يرغب في دنياه جميعها إلا بمغفرة الله تبارك وتعالى وعفوه وطلب هدايته؟ فهذا هو الأساس. فإذا كان ذلك كذلك، فإن هذا يكون هو سبيل الطاعة التي يسعى العبد أن يحصلها في دنياه، لتكون له نورا واستقامة وسدادا في أخرى. فوافق ختم الآية الكريمة أو ختم الآية الكريمة بقوله تعالى ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما، بمعنى إذا كنتم أيها العباد صالحين، وإذا كنتم مسددين، وإذا كنتم قائمين بالأمر الحق، أمر الله وأمر رسوله، كنتم فائزين في الدنيا وناجين عند الله تبارك وتعالى يوم القيامة، وكنتم ملتزمين بالطاعة التي هي مفتاح البر كله ومفتاح الخير كله. ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما.
Can a person please move the car registration number C786XPX? It's a Toyota. And also G9740TV, a Ford Orion.
Our brothers, concerning your cars, we're not going to continue to interrupt these sessions because the cars are blocking other cars. If you're blocking the parking space or you're in a place that's wrong, you need to get up now so that every 10 minutes we don't have to interrupt to make these announcements. The Sheikh went on to say that from the reasons that we can find that maybe a person can become righteous, from the things that a person can do in order to become from the Salihin, there are too many examples that we can give. But because of the short amount of time and because of the place in which we're in, We're only going to, inshallah ta'ala, make the ikhtisar, or we're going to make a summarization of the way a person can become righteous by only looking at one of the ayat, of the many ayat of the Quran. And this ayat alone, when we look at this ayat, we will find that it contains a lot of the principles and a lot of the practical understandings that if a person was to see this ayat and he was to apply it in his life, the ayat will be a cause of giving him the risk, or will be a cause of supplying him with the necessary ingredients that will make him a person who is righteous. And that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which he said, O you who believe, fear Allah. O you who believe, fear Allah, and say the statement that is right to the point. Say the statement that is right and exact and directly to the point. He said, if you were to do that, Allah will forgive you for your sins, and He will make right for you your affairs. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, verily he has received the true and the tremendous victory. The Shaykh said that the Lord of all the worlds, Allah, Rabbil Alameen, He orders those people who are the companions of faith, or the companions and the possessors of Iman, and He says to them, O you who believe, and He calls them out by this description. He said, if we looked at this alone, this statement in the Quran, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, whenever we look at this statement alone, we will find that this statement by itself, it carries a lot of far-reaching implications that we need to discuss and we need to understand. He said that it has been authentically narrated on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And I reiterate that this is the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it's not a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, if you hear that Allah has called out by saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, if you read this, you see this, you hear this, then what you should do is, you should lend that statement to, you should lend your ear to that statement, and you should pay attention to that statement. Because after saying, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, after that statement, Allah is either going to order you to do something that is good, or He's going to prohibit you from doing something that is wrong or something that is evil. So anytime the Muslim man or woman hears this statement, he should pay attention to it if he considers himself to be the possessor of Iman. The Shaykh went on to say after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, Ittaqullah. He ordered the people to have the taqwa. And he went on to say that the taqwa is holding on and practicing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory, and staying away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you to do. And the Shaykh went on to say that the famous Tabi'i, the famous scholar of Islam by the name of Talq ibn Habib rahmatullahi alayhi, he went on to explain what is taqwa. He explained a taqwa in his statement by saying that a taqwa is working, the Muslim working to please Allah, doing the righteous deeds, obeying Allah, and he works according to the light from Allah, trying to stay away from the anger of Allah. And it's also staying away from the ma'asiyah of Allah, or disobeying Allah. And he does that by working with the light from Allah, trying to obtain and to receive the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after Allah ordered the believers to have this taqwa, He went on to say, to say the qawlan sadida, to say the word that is right and exact and straight to the point. The Shaykh went on to say, now this is very important for us to understand. The qawl as-sadid, what is it? It is the istiqama. It is the statement that will establish a person on what is upright. And it is the thing that will give the person the sadad, which means to protect him from falling off the mark. It is also that thing that will cause the man to walk on the sirat al-mustaqim with the knowledge that is necessary to protect him and to prohibit him from falling into those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram upon him. He said that the qawl as-sadid, say the straight word, the word that is right and exact and straight to the point, It is not the speculation that the person has, or the words that are a result of speculation, nor is it the words that come as a result of a person merely guessing, nor is it the word of a person who doesn't know what he's talking about. All of these descriptions are not from the Qawl as-Sadid, but the Qawl as-Sadid, the word which is right and exact and straight to the point, it is the word that has sidq or truthfulness attached to it. And it is the word of the haqq or the truth. And it is every single speech and every type of speech or kalam that is built upon knowledge, that is built upon the knowledge supported by the proofs. He said in every single statement that is against what has been mentioned, whether it is kadhib or lying, or whether it is batil or falsehood, or whether it is jahil or ignorance, all of those things are the contrary to the Qawl as-Sadid. The Shaykh went on to say, all of those things, al-kadhib, wal-batil, wal-jahil, all of those things are the opposite of as-sadad. Then the Shaykh said, if we were to be the people who did this, if we were to be the people who had the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we were the people who said the word that was right and exact and to the point, then we will be of the people who we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change our evil actions and our evil deeds into righteous actions and righteous deeds. And those of us who are not righteous people, we are irreligious in our behavior. If we were to do this, have the taqwa, and say the word that is straight to the point, we will find after once being people who were not righteous, we will suddenly become of the people who Allah has blessed with the righteousness. The Shaykh went on to say, verily, this affair is a very, very important affair that we need to really consider, and we need to try our best, because every single servant of Allah, collectively and individually, we all want to obtain the fold that this ayah is talking about, or the victory that this ayah is talking about. And if the person was to obtain this victory in this life, then it would necessitate that in the hereafter, likewise, he will be of those people who are victorious. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, when he ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the person of the istiqama, or the person who was on that which is upright, when he said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, he said to him, fastaqim, he said to the Prophet, stand up, kama umirta, as you have been ordered to stand up, and those people who follow you. Allah ta'ala ordered the Prophet by saying to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, establish Muhammad this istiqamah and those people who are with you, meaning the believers, you also should follow this, and you should also establish this istiqamah. And we need to also understand, brothers and sisters, that this taqwa and this Qawl as-Sadid, this righteousness and this statement, which is right and exact and to the point, they cannot be detached from each other. The person who has righteousness, he has to be a person whose statements also are going to show and be a translation of that righteousness. And this is the sabil of the ta'a. This is the way of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the way of light. And this is the way of al-istiqama. The Shaykh went on to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended this ayah. He ended this ayah by saying, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he will receive the true victory. He said this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ended the ayah with. So in order for us to be of the people who want this victory in this life and in the next life, but this life before the next life, we need to make a oath between ourselves and our Lord that we're going to try to be of those people who implement the ayah.
وأما الصفات التي تكون في الشخصية الصالحة وتقوم بها وتكون عمادها فإنها مذكورة أيضا في عدد من الآيات القرآنية والأحاديث النبوية، وسأكتفي كذلك بذكر آية من كتاب الله وحديث من أحاديث رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. أما الآية فقوله جل في علاه، ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. فالله عز وجل يأمر عباده أن يكونوا ربانيين، والرباني نسبة إلى التربية أو نسبة إلى الرب؟ فهو إذا كان نسبة إلى الرب فإنه يعني أن يكون ملتزما بأوامره، منتهيا عن نواهيه، قائما بأحكامه. وإذا كانت نسبة إلى التربية فأن يكون هذا الإنسان مربا على الإسلام الحق، مربا على الصلاح في العمل والسداد في القول. المهم أن يكون هذا الإنسان عبدا ربانيا كما أراد الله وكما أمره ربه جل في علاه سبحانه وتعالى. ولكن كونوا ربانيين بماذا؟ بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. وفي قراءة لهذه الآية من القراءات السبعة قوله بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون، فهم يعلمون ويعلمون ويدرسون ويدرسون كلام الله وكلام رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولا علم ولا فهم ولا فقه إلا ما وافق كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. بهذا يكون العبد ربانيا، فإذا كان ربانيا فإنه سيكون من الصالحين الذين خطبوا بذلك الوصف ونالوا ثمرات غالية يسعى لها كل عبد رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله وسلم عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم نبيا ورسولا. نعم.
Now the Sheikh went on to say, brothers and sisters, after discussing that ayah that would cause us to obtain this righteousness, and that is the statement, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. After explaining that ayah, and the reason why the Sheikh explained the ayah was, when you look at the ayah, it gives you some of the reasons of how the person can be righteous. By having the taqwa of Allah, by saying the qawl as-sadid, and by obeying Allah and His Messenger. Now the Sheikh went on to explain here, what are some of the characteristics or the sifat of the people who are righteous? What are some of the characteristics of the righteous personality? What are some of the characteristics of the pillars in which the righteous personality is standing upon and supported by? He said that these characteristics are many in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Again, you don't have to look very far. He said, but again, what we're going to do, inshallah, because of the short time, is we're going to find sufficient only one ayat from the Quran and only one authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the ayat that we're going to deal with is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He said to the people, and you people should be rabbaniyin. From what you used to study from the book and from what you used to teach, Allah Ta'ala ordered the believers, and He said, you people should be Rabbaniyin. Because of what you, or with what you used to study from the book, and also what you used to teach. The Shaykh went on to say, this word Rabbaniyin, a Rabban, this word Rabbaniyin, it can be coming from two sources. The first implication of Rabbani is that it may be in connection to the Rabb, to the Lord. And if that's what is intended here, then the meaning of it, be you people Rabbaniyin, if it means being Rabban, connected to the Rabb, then it means be people who are holding on to what your Lord has legislated for you, and what your Lord has made your religion, and what your Lord has ordered you to do and prohibited you from. Be Rabbaniyin by doing that which is correct, and by staying away from that which is incorrect, so that you will be successful. He said the other thing that Rabbaniyin could be connected to is the word At-Tarbiyah. If it is meaning At-Tarbiyah, then the meaning of it is be Rabbaniyin, be people who have the proper Tarbiyah or education or Islamic upbringing. The upbringing that is supported by Al-Islam, and not the upbringing that is supported by any other way of life other than Al-Islam. The upbringing of the truth, the upbringing of clarity, the upbringing of good works and staying away from bad deeds. And from the good works is making those statements which are right and exact. The Shaykh went on to say, every single abd who is in his right mind he should have a desire to be from the Rabbaniyin. For verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not order him to be from the Rabbaniyin if it wasn't in his best interest. He went on to say that in this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bima kuntum ta'lamun, he said that there's another way that you read this ayat, that the scholars of the Qira'at, there are different ways that you can read certain ayats. And in one of those recitations, it can be one of them say, Bima kuntum ta'lamun, be Rabbaniyin because of what you used to do. And then the other recitation is, be Rabbaniyin because of what you used to teach. So the Sheikh went on to explain to the people that whether we are teaching or whether we are learning, either way, we should be of the people who are trying to be of the Rabbaniyin. And there is no knowledge, and there is no understanding, and there is no fiqh unless it is in accordance to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down in His book, and what has been sanctified, and which what has been approved by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. So if the person was to do that, then verily he would be from the Rabbaniyin, and he would get the high place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon those who are righteous. Those people who take Allah as their Rabb, and al-Islam as their deen, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their Nabi and their Rasul.
وأما الحديث النبوي الذي فيه الإشارة أيضا إلى معالم هذه الشخصية الصالحة وأصولها وما تقوم عليها، فهو قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: خصلتان لا تجتمعان في منافق، حسن سمت وفقه في دين، حسن سمت وفقه في دين. بمعنى أن من الناس من يكون عنده سمت حسن لكن لا يكون فقيها في الدين، فهذا قد يصله شيء من النفاق أو علاماته أو صوره أو أماراته. ومن الناس من يكون عنده فقه في الدين ومعرفة بالإسلام لكن لا يكون عنده السمت الحسن، وهذا لا ينجو من أن يصيبه ما أصاب سابقه من النفاق أو خصاله أو علاماته أو صوره. أما من جمع بين هذين الخيرين واتقى الله عز وجل في هذين الأمرين فكان ذا سمت حسن وذا فقه في الدين، فإنه يكون من الصالحين، من الذين ليس فيهم شائبة نفاق وليس فيهم خصلة نفاق، إنما هو من المتقين الصالحين الصادقين الذين كما قلنا ونكرر رضوا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا، وعملوا بما علموا واتقوا الله عز وجل بما عملوا، وكانوا لا يريدون شيئا من الدنيا وزهرتها، وإنما يريدون الله عز وجل والدار الآخرة. والفقه في الدين هو المعرفة التامة على قدر الوسع والاستطاعة بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام، مع فهم هذين الأصلين على طريقة السلف الصالح الذين هم أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، ومن أخذوا عنهم الفهم والاستقامة على الدرب، كما قال الله عز وجل: ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوليه ما تولى ونصره جهنم وساءت مصيرا. أما حسن السمت فهو الاستقامة على أمر الله ظاهرا وباطنا، التلبس بموافقة السنة في الهيئة والمظهر والقلب والقول، فإذا بالقلب خاشع وخاضع وخائف ووجل من الله تبارك وتعالى، إذا به ليس فيه غل ولا حسد ولا ظن ولا حقد، وإذا بالجوارح منطلقة بما يأمر الله تبارك وتعالى به كافة عما ينهى الله تبارك وتعالى عنه، فهذه نبذة من الصفات التي إذا وجدت في إنسان كان من الصالحين، وكانت شخصيته شخصية صالحة يسعى لأن يثبتها في نفسه، ويسعى أن يدعو ربه أن يثبته عليها آناء الليل وأطراف النهار.
The Sheikh went on to say, brothers, the hadith that we're going to deal with now, inshallah, after mentioning the ayat from the Quran that was just mentioned, it also gives us an indication and description of this Islamic personality which we described as being righteous. And this next ayat also explains to us and it expounds in very clear details some of the principles and some of the pillars of this Islamic righteous personality. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there were two characteristics that you will not find them in the hypocrite. There are two characteristics that they will not come together and be found in the hypocrite, in the personification of the hypocrite. He said the first characteristic is husn as-samt, and the second characteristic is the fiqh in the religion. So the meaning of the first thing is, the husn as-samt is when the person is in his behavior, as the Shaykh went on later to explain, in his behavior he is totally Islamic. And the second characteristic is fiqh in the religion. The Shaykh said that there are some people, when you find them and you meet them, those people you will find that their character is a nice character when you look at them. Their character is a character that they have been blessed and they have a nice personality, but they do not have any understanding in the religion. They have no fiqh and no understanding in religion. This person who has good character but no understanding, he is open and susceptible to falling into the pitfalls of hypocrisy. And then we find yet the other group of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe has blessed them with some fiqh in the religion and some understanding in the religion, but they do not have the good character. This person is just like the one who has just preceded. He is open and susceptible to falling into the pitfalls of the hypocrite. He said, as for the Muslim or the person who is able to gather both of these characteristics by the permission of Allah and by the virtue that Allah has blessed and bestowed and honored this favor upon them, if the person has the husn as-samt and he also has the fiqh in the religion, then we will find this person will definitely be from the righteous people. And these evil, the evil of nifaq, will not be something that can even come close to him. But he needs to have both of these descriptions, because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So the one who has these two characteristics, the good personality, also fiqh in the religion, he will be exactly like the one who we mentioned before. He will be the one who will be successful, the one that has chosen Allah as his Lord and Islam as his deen, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his Nabi and as his Rasul. The Shaykh went on to say, brothers and sisters, that the people who this is their characteristic and this is their behavior and this is their description, you will find that these people will work based upon the dictates of Islam. They are not people who want the dunya and the beauty and the zina of the dunya, but what they want foremost and what they want first of all is the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to do Allah's bidding and Allah's will in the earth. And as for this fiqh in the deen, we need to understand that the fiqh is the complete understanding according to one's ability and one's capability of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to what the righteous predecessors were upon And when I say the righteous predecessors, I have to define that I'm talking about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam and those people who came after them, and they were taught by them, and they took directly from them. Those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them by mentioning their characteristics in the Quran when he said, whoever goes against the messenger, whoever goes against the messenger, and he goes and chooses a way other than the way of the believers, we will cause him to enter, we will turn him to that which he likes, and we will cause him to enter into the hellfire, and what an evil place or abode. The Shaykh went on to say, as for the explanation, that's the explanation of the fiqh in the religion, that it is the ma'rifah tamma, that it is a person's complete and total understanding to the best of his ability of the Quran and the Sunnah according to what the Salaf were upon. The Shaykh went on to say, as for the husna samt, what it is, it is al-istiqama. It is a person having the ability to be upright upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, zahiran wa batinan, in his outer appearance as well as his inner appearance. So he is a person who, when you look at him, and when you hear him, and when you see him, and when you deal with him, all you see from him is Islam emanating from his person. In the way that he lives and the way that he dresses, you see al-Islam. In his heart, you see al-Islam. In his statements, you see al-Islam. Whenever the people ask you about this person, he reminds you of al-Islam. His statements or his heart is a heart which is submissive to the wills and the dictates of the religion. He is a person who makes himself humble in order to be low and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be high. It is not the personality that has the hasad, the envy, nor is it the personality that has the dhan or the speculation or the bad thought. It is not the personality that has the haqq to have the enmity and the hatred towards people. His arms, his legs, and all of his body parts and his limbs are actually speaking, and they are telling about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. The Shaykh went on to say that this is a nubda or a small example of the sifat of this righteous personality or this shakhsiyah as-salihah, and that the Muslim who wants to be successful, who wants to make the yas'a ila rabbihi, he's the one who's going to do this, and he's the one who's going to be successful.
قدمنا الأسباب وقدمنا الصفات وبقي الثمرات ولقد تقدم في الآية الأولى التي ذكرناها شيء من هذه الثمرات ألا وهو قوله سبحانه وتعالى ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما فالعمل الصالح ينتج الطاعة والطاعة تثمر الفوز والفوز ضد الخسران الذي ذكره الله تبارك وتعالى في تلكم السورة والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر فالذين لا يعملون الصالحات خاسرون في دنياهم وأخراهم والذين يعملون الصالحات فائزون في دنياهم وأخراهم وإن لم ينالوا شيئا في دنياهم فإن الله عز وجل سيدخر ذلك لهم يوم القيامة فلا ييأسن أحد منا على ضيق يعيشه أو ظرف يحياه في هذه الدنيا الفانية فإنما عند الله خير وأبقى ألا نرى أن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه جاء إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكان نائما على حصير حتى أثر الحصير في جنبه وعلم على جلده فقال له يا رسول الله ألا تدعو الله لنا أن يغير هذا الذي نحن فيه فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام يا عمر أما ترضى أن تكون لهم الدنيا ولكم الآخرة فأي فوز في دنيا لا يغادرها إلى الآخرة فأنعم به من فوز هذا الذي يفوز به العباد الصالحون القائمون بأمر الله الملتزمون بهدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإذا به يثمر الفوز في الجنة والحياة الأبدية والتنعم في جنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض. وأما الثمرات الأخرى فيجملها بكلمات وجيزة عزيزة، قول الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الذين آمنوا سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا. إن الذين آمنوا سيكون نتيجة إيمانهم، إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا، سيكون نتيجة إيمانهم بالله عز وجل ونتيجة عملهم بالصالحات من الأوامر الربانية والشرائع الدينية أن يجعل الله عز وجل لهم ودا، أن يرزقهم حبا يعيشون فيه ويتنعمون به وتمتلئ صدورهم بنوره، ليكون ذلك إرثا لهم يأخذونه معهم يوم القيامة، يوم ترتفع الشمس على رؤوس الخلائق وتعلوهم قدر باع أو ذراع، وكل يلجم بعرقه ورشحه بقدر عمله وصلاحه وفجوره، ولا يبقى في ظل عرش الرحمن إلا الصالحون من العباد، ومنهم أولئك الذين كان لهم الود في الدنيا. ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وتفرقا عليه، هذا هو الود الذي ينعش القلوب في الدنيا ويسعد النفوس في الآخرة، ليكون نهاية أمرها وليكون خاتمة مطافها دخول الجنة وصحبة الأبرار الأطهار من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء، وحسن أولئك رفيقا.
The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, that already now what has proceeded, and we're going to finish with this, is that we have put forth the reasons how a person can become righteous, and we also put forth the characteristics of the righteous personality. Now what we want to discuss is the thamarat, or the fruitation of this righteousness. The Sheikh went on to say in the first ayat that was mentioned already, the ayat that was explained and expounded upon, it has already mentioned to us many examples of the thamarat, or the fruitation that comes as a result of righteousness. And that was in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, they are the ones who receive the tremendous and the real victory. The Sheikh went on to say, so we understand that the righteous deeds, what it does is, the righteous deeds will make a person a righteous person. And if a person is a righteous person, then he will get the victory, or he will get that victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about in this ayah. And the ayah, or the surah that we mentioned before, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wal asr," verily all of mankind is in a state of loss, except those who believe and who do righteous works, and they mutually encourage one another to be patient with one another, and they encourage each other upon the truth. The Sheikh went on to say, the people who do not do the righteous works, they will not get this fruitation, and they will not inherit this fold or this victory. Whereas the people who do the righteous works, they will inherit it, and they will be those who are victorious. And they will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made what? As the Sheikh described, يُدَّخِرْ لَهُمْ, He will preserve for them, and He will save for them, and He will put away from them all of the reward of the actions that they have, the results of the actions, the good deeds that they have done in the dunya. So the Sheikh went on to give some advice to the brothers and the sisters, and he said to us, Do not let any of us be of the people who have given up hope of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of some trial or tribulation that is confronting you in your life today, like having straitened circumstances in your dunya, not having money or whatever the situation may be. Do you not see what has taken place with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the authentic hadith, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying on a mat that was without any covering. It was a mat made out of palm trees, the fibers and the leaves from the palm tree. When Umar came to the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet stood up in order to greet him, or he sat up in order to greet him. At that time, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu noticed upon the side of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the effects of the imprints of the palm trees. So he said to the Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, there is the king of those people over there, meaning the disbelievers, and you are the Messenger of Allah, we are your followers. Would you not pray to Allah for assistance? Would you not pray to Allah to change, to turn the tides? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar, O Umar, would you not like for the dunya to be for those people and for the hereafter to be for you people? The Shaykh went on to say, this is the fold in the dunya that I'm encouraging you brothers, that I'm advising you brothers, let not anyone from amongst you give up hope of the mercy of Allah. He said, because anytime you look at the fold that the people receive in the dunya, anytime you look at the victory or the good fortune that a person has in the dunya, when you compare that good fortune that he has in the dunya, that good fortune cannot compete with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for those people in terms of the good fortune in the hereafter. Those righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their reward and their victory and that fold in the Jannah, that Jannah whose distance is like the width of the heavens and the earth. It is a life that is continuous and is everlasting. And there's another fruitation that we get from the righteous deed, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayat. And he said, verily those people who believe and those people who do righteous deeds, Ar-Rahman has prepared for them a reward, and that is what? Al-Wud. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those people who believe and those people who do the righteous deeds, Allah has prepared for them that they will be having this mutual love amongst themselves, treasuring and basking in this love, Yawm al-Qiyamah. This love that Allah has blessed them with is the natija or a result of their actions and that righteousness that we were talking about. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of their righteousness and because of this righteous personality, the reason and the descriptions of it have already gone forth. Now we're talking about the fruitation of it. From the fruitation of that righteousness is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the people to love the true love. In their heart there will be light, and that will be the reward that they will get as a compensation for the efforts that they put forth in Yawm al-Qiyamah. This will be their reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has informed us on that day, Yawm al-Qiyamah, the people who are having this love, you will see why we describe it as being the true victory or part of the true victory, and why it is a fruitation that is worth our while struggling for. And that is the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ informed us, Yawm al-Qiyamah, the people will be standing in sweat according to the level of their righteousness. They will be standing in sweat as a result of their righteousness, or according to the level of their evil. Some people's sweat will go to their ankles, and other people's sweat up into their knees, and other people's sweat up to their waist, and yet others up to their head. But the companions of the righteous deeds, they will be the ones who won't be in sweat. And the reason why they will be sweating is because of the close proximity of the sun to their heads on that day. As for those people who believed and did the righteous works, they will be the ones who will be protected under the shade of the throne of Ar-Rahman, and they will be only the righteous people, and their party will be the party of the victory. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he told us about the seven people who will be shaded in Allah's shade on the day that there would be no shade. He went on to mention, and two men who loved each other for Allah's sake, they came together on that love and they parted on that love. So the Shaykh went on to say, this is one of the futations of righteousness in this life, so that we can be from the vanguard and from this company of the righteous, the company of the Nabiyeen or the Prophets, and the Siddiqeen, those people who are truthful, and also the Shuhada, those people who have gotten the Shahada fi sabilillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and what a good fraternity these people are.
وأخيرا أيها الإخوة في الله, إن صلاح الشخصية المسلمة واستقامتها على دربها أمر ليس سهلا ولا يسيرا إلا على من يسره الله تبارك وتعالى إليه, ومن لم يجد فعليه بالدعاء, وعليه بالابتهال, وعليه بالتضرع, وعليه بسؤال الله تبارك وتعالى أن يرزقه الصلاح في القول والعمل. والله عز وجل يقول في كتابه العزيز, والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا, ورسوله محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم يقول, المجاهد من جاهد هواه في ذات الله. وإني لأعجب في نهاية هذه الكلمة من أقوام يريدون أن يقوموا بالعظائم من الأمور وبالشؤون الفخمة الكبيرة والكبيرة جدا, مما لا يستطيعه إلا أفذاذ الرجال الذين تربوا التربية الجادة المخلصة, وممن أقاموا نفوسهم على طريق الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم إذا بهؤلاء المدعين لا ينالون من ذلك شيئا ولا يحصلون منه أمرا, ومع ذلك يتطاولون بأعناقهم ويشرئبون برؤوسهم نحو أمور هم دونها, ولو تذكروا نصرة الله تبارك وتعالى للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وصحبه يوم كانوا قلة استعصمت بأمر الله, ولو تذكروا أيضا يوم أنزل الله في أصحاب النبي قرآنا يتلى إلى يوم القيامة تبكيتا وإنكارا, لأنهم وجدوا في نفوسهم شيئا من الداء وشيئا من المرض وشيئا من العجب, فكان حالهم حالا صعبا شديدا, وما ذلك إلا لأنهم قد فقدوا جزءا من الخير وجانبا من الصلاح. فكيف حال هؤلاء اليوم وهم لا يربون من معهم على الكتاب والسنة, ولا يعظمون في عيونهم الصلاح والاستقامة, بل يجعلون ذلك كأنما هو آخر الأمور وأقل الشؤون, ثم يريدون أعظم الأمور وأفخم الشؤون. فليتق الله هؤلاء وليعلموا أن ما هم عليه ليس هو من الخير في شيء, وأنهم إذ لم يسارعوا إلى كتاب الله عز وجل وإلى سنة رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام وإلى فهم هذين الأصلين العظيمين بفهم السلف الصالح من صفوة الأمة ومن العلماء والأئمة, فإنهم سيتقهقرون وينكصون ولا يستفيدون من التجارب المرة والمريرة التي وقعوا فيها من قبل, ووقع فيها أسيادهم والسابقون لهم في غابر الزمان وفي حاضره, ومع ذلك لم يستفيدوا شيئا. فليعودوا إلى صلاح العلم وصلاح العمل وصلاح الشخصية, لأنها هي الباب الذي يفتحه الله عز وجل على مصراعيه أمام كل عبد يريد الله ويريد الدار الآخرة, وقد عمل وفق هذه الإرادة بالعلم الصحيح والعمل الصحيح ليكون عبدا صالحا في قلبه وصالحا في عمله وعلمه. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يصلح قلوبنا وعلومنا وأعمالنا، وأن يجعلنا وإياكم ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Sheikh went on to say, brothers and sisters, that some of the people that I have to mention about, I find it, and I'm still finding it very strange as to what I see them saying, what I hear them saying, what I see them doing. And that is those people who do not pay any attention to the importance of building the Islamic personality, the righteous Islamic personality, the personality that every single Muslim needs to be a part of and he needs to develop within his own self. This personality which is described as one that is the possessor of al-istiqama. These people, I find it strange, and I find their words strange, because they look at the building and the development of the Islamic personality and righteousness, and they see it as being a small issue and an affair that does not deserve any consideration. They see that this is an issue that is secondary, and the primary thing that they are trying to accomplish is something that is great, and they will never accomplish it because they are not having their affairs in the proper order. The very first thing that we need to do is we need to understand that if the person from amongst us, he has not been blessed nor gifted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not bestowed upon him naturally this good personality, then what he has to do is he has to really try his best to make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make the ibtihal, which is more than the dua. It is making the earnest dua, to really, really, really make dua earnestly. He has to make this dua, and he has to make the ibtihal, and he also has to make the tadarra. He has to really, really humble himself and to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Lord and him being the slave. And then after making this dua, hopefully Allah will give him this righteous character that we all want, and Allah will bestow it upon him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran when he said, those people who make jihad for us, who struggle for us, who struggle, meaning for Allah, those people who make jihad, we will guide them to my sabil. The person who makes jihad for me, I will guide them to my sabil. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that the mujahid, the true mujahid, was the one who made jihad against himself when it concerned the rights of Allah. He fought himself and he struggled against himself when it concerned the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those other people, they want to establish a great affair that is from al-Islam, but it is not possible, and they need to understand the thing that they want to establish and to put into effect is not possible except by the hands of men. Men who have had the necessary orientation and the necessary education and the necessary upbringing. The upbringing that, as we mentioned before, will cause a person to be of the righteous, and which will cause a person to have that Islamic personality that is strong, that affects and not is and is not affected. The Shaykh said that these people who have this proper personality and this proper upbringing and training, they are the ones that I describe as men, and not anything other than that. They are the ones who have the ability to stand up and to do what is necessary. Whereas those people who are filled with a lot of beautiful statements, those people who are the people of talking and the statements that are cheap, they want to establish this thing by doing what? By sticking their heads out, or sticking their necks out, and pumping their chest out, and flexing as if this is what's going to bring about a change for the community. The Sheikh said it's as if they do not remember, and they do not consider the nafar, or the victory and the help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when him and the companions were the minority in the community, in their environment. It's as if they do not remember, nor do they consider the sending down of the Quran in so many examples and so many situations. Like this example when Allah ta'ala sent down the Quran, talking to the companions about an incident that happened when those companions had a certain sickness from amongst them. And that sickness, one of the sicknesses amongst them was that they had the urjub, or they were pleased with themselves. They were intoxicated. They looked at themselves and they thought that they were more and greater than what they actually were. This is a part of the sickness that the Sheikh described. So when they were going out to participate in a campaign, in one of the battles, and this disease was a part of their repertoire of what they brought to the battlefield, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give them the victory. So we see this incident taking place only one time. And we see this incident taking place with only a small portion of what they were about. That they looked at themselves as being more than what they actually were. Now my question to these people who want such a great and noble task, they want to make such a tremendous change. I ask you, if the companions were refused the victory when they had this small portion of the sickness as a part of what they were about, what about the people of today? What about us? What about your situation? They need to look at the fact that these people were people who had the proper tarbiyah, and in spite of their being in the minority, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the victory. So I don't understand how you people want to establish something that is so great. We need to come back to the truth, and we need to come back to our minds, and we need to understand that we, the people who are upon what we're talking about today, we have gotten benefit from the experiences of others. Now you need to get experience, and you need to get lessons from the experiences of what your former leaders have done yesterday and what your leaders are doing today. And that is that their actions have been a cause of making negative impact upon the development of Islam and the pushing forward of the Ummah. So we have to have the righteous works, the righteousness, so that the righteousness that we obtain, it would affect our knowledge, and it will affect our actions, and it will affect our Islamic personality. This is the door that the servants of Allah, who really want to make a change, and who really want to make an impact, and who really want to do that which is right, this is the door that we have to approach, and this is the door where we're going to enter into in order to gain the victory. So the knowledge that is authentic is what will allow a person to be of the recipients of this, so that his heart can be correct, his actions can be correct, and his knowledge, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts, and to purify the ulum, or the sciences that we are studying, and also our actions. And then the Shaykh went on to say, and our last da'wah is that all praises are due to Allah.
Jazakumullah khairan to the Shaykh. We'll break now for Asr prayer, and inshallah after Asr, if anyone wants to ask questions, there'll be questions for about 20 minutes, and then a break before our next program. Can the sisters, because they are next door in another building, and technically they are in front of the imam, so we ask the sisters if they can make their own jama'ah and choose the most knowledgeable sister amongst you of the Quran and the Sunnah to lead the prayer. The brothers will make a jama'ah here. Can the brothers move back a little bit so we can move the tables and whatever, inshallah? Can the sisters also, if they